Hey, it's the Dose of Fat. It's your Uncle Gomez. I'm going to call Leia because she just repeated the freaking Polaroid, man. So, stand by.
Hey.
Hey, Leia. How's it going?
Okay, it's going good.
Well, we actually are recording, so.
Oh yeah. So it's Friday. I'm finally getting out of hibernation mode after the polar roll.
Really? Do you go deep into hibernation after a big race like that?
Deep dive. That one, it was a good 2 days. The celebration festivities all night on Saturday didn't help.
Nice. You know, that gives hope to some ladies for the Fat Bite Berkey.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'm recovered by them to actually give them a run for their money.
You know who's been sending me Instagram pictures? Jill Cederholm.
Jill. She's a workhorse. That lady never quits.
I think she at least sent me a picture with a Jeep Gladiator, too, which is pretty cool.
Well, she's got that place in Leadville, so I can see her sending you some really sweet scenery pics with that fat bike of hers, for sure.
Yeah, her La Mer fat bike.
Yeah, the beauty.
So here's what I had this idea during my ride today. I was like, you know what I should do? I should call Todd and get a reaction to this three-peat. I should call Michael Jordan and ask him if he's heard about your three-peat. I should call Joe Miser of Salsa, because you ride a Salsa. I should call my buddy Andy from Head Wheels and be like, and get all these reactions to Leia's Polar Roll three-peat. But there's only one person that can tell the whole story, and that's you.
Well, all those champs helped. I mean, the Salsa, this is my fifth year on the Salsa. I can't give up this bike.
Hey, three out of five polar rolls recommend your older version of the Salsa Bear Grease. But, you know,
That is the most winningest bike of the polar roll to date.
The Ice Queen.
Yeah. And now, and the head wheels.
And now with noodly liquid spokes.
Yep, we got the bird spokes on there. And I made a last minute tire change. I had been rocking the Van Helgas. Mm-hmm. But we started getting a little bit of a freeze thaw. And with the harder pack surfaces, I just wasn't feeling like I was cornering as well as I have with when I had the studs in. And so, my mind just wasn't right. You know, I was coming in hesitant and I'm like, man, I want to jam this thing. I want to come in hot. I don't want to be worried about slipping out. And so I last minute called George and had him drop ship me the Dilly Fours with the studs.
Nice.
And I think I'm just going to leave those on the last couple of weeks, and I'll use those for the Berkey too, no matter what the conditions are. I mean, unless it's like total soup kitchen, you just can't go wrong with studded wheels.
Yeah.
There's tires.
There's such a limited, I mean, there's a little bit of a weight penalty because you're carrying around 200 and some odd little pieces of metal, but for the level of, Like you said, you know, if it's giving you confidence to really pour the coals into those corners and really trust your tires, then it's totally worth it. You're going to carry all that much more speed.
Yeah, and you know, in these dillies, the nugs aren't as deep as the Van Helgas. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, okay, so they might weigh a little bit more, but there's less rolling resistance, but mm-hmm. the same amount of grip because you got some studs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm that's what I'm going with. That's my tire of choice.
All right.
I got away from it and I came back home.
Well, cool. So three-peat. Did you ever think that when you won the first one, did you think, yeah, I'm just going to continue to win this race?
No, I never thought that. I mean, the first one surprised the hell out of me as it was. But once I'd won it and then knew the next year I was going to go back. I obviously wanted to hit it a second time. But then this third year is like, oh man, the pressure is on.
Right. Cause
just one more.
Every elite woman has to be like, well, there's the person to beat right there. A.K.A. Leah Schneeberger, a.k.a. the Ice Queen. Let us put a target on her back.
Yeah, I think I have that course dialed. You know, I spent so much time in Marquette and Ishpeming and Agani and those trails over the summer, you know, with training for the Margie. And then I do like to go up there during the winter a few times just because it's so wonderful. So I know those trails really well. And it's a four-hour race. I mean, it took me 3 hours and 56 minutes this year. And so when I'm prepping, I'm just putting on big hours. So I might not have like top end fitness right now, but I can go for days.
So it was almost 40 miles this year, right? Like 30.
Yeah, it
miles.
Was 40 miles. Cool. Yeah. If you had I didn't have the wheel sensor, but if you had one, it would have been like 41 or two, but I left it off cause I didn't want to. I knew it was 40 and I was like, I don't want to have that wheel sensor. And then I think I'm done. I got 2 miles to go.
Yeah. And I heard that they put another, like mid race, there was a big climb back in or.
Yeah. So the race starts in downtown Michigan, right on the main road. And then we jump on bike path right next to the lake, and it was still kind of dark out and the winds were just howling in our faces, like coming off the lake. It was so cold. And, that portion wasn't like really well, groomed in, you know, it was pretty soft. So there's a lot of, and you know, it's really crowded at the beginning. So there's a lot of accidents. And again, just trying to get around the chaos. And then when we jumped in the single track, man, we are climbing. It felt like for hours. I want to say with all the climbing in that first section off the road, I think there was four category four climbs, before we got to, the nice section of Marquette South single track trails, you know? Right. So we had to get up into them, and then we go under a bridge, we cross a highway, and then we're climbing Benson's, and then we hit some nice single track, but that's still climbing too. And then you get to the snowmobile trail and you're going, I don't know, maybe 10 miles and it's a false flat. So we're going uphill for the first 22 miles, it seemed.
Yikes.
Yeah, like you're just up and up and up and up. And then the snowmobile trail was really well packed in. Like I put more air in my tires than I normally do. I went like 5-6. I normally go 3-4.
Right.
But I put a little bit more in knowing that there's so many miles of that hard packed snow. And I'm glad I did. Cause I heard a lot of people were struggling on that with the lower pressures. And yeah, there were some areas where, the snow had blown over, so it was a deep dig, and you know, with those higher pressures, it was harder to maneuver through. But those were so rare, you know, like, oh darn, you had to dab down for a minute. I'd rather get that speed that I needed on the snowmobile trail. But what sucked is it was like 20 mile per hour winds, it right in our face.
Oh, I heard 60 mile an hour winds.
Oh man, yeah, I mean, it felt like it. Holy shit, dude! Like that sucked. Like. In 2018, I got real lucky. I hopped on a solid wheel and that where we ended up catching another group. And so for the majority of that race, I was in a pack of like five guys in the entire snowmobile trail and just burning up miles, you know, real nice and fast and not, you know, working hard, but not killing myself. But this time, I tried to latch onto this pack. I caught this group in the last portion of single track and we're coming out onto this golf course. And there was a lot of that bad diggy type area. And I got these guys. And then the one in front of me, like just all sprawled out all over the place, right? I just like, I can't get around it. There's bikes, body, everything. I mean, I would have had to jump this guy. And so it was just enough to lose the pack. So when I got onto this thing, onto the snowmobile trail, I'm alone. I'm like, man. Oh, this is going to suck. And
where's my domestique?
Oh man. And these guys, they're like right there, you know, like I can almost grab them, but they're working together. And so the dude that had spilled it in front of me, he caught me and I got to hop on his wheel and I'm watching him and I'm watching him and I see him like messing around with his water and he's messing around with some food, you know, he's just kind of like dinking around. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my God, the second this guy is done, like dealing with his stuff, uh-huh, I am toast. You know, so I'm just going to stay here, like, just like enjoy this as long as I can. Sure enough, after a mile, he just sits up, gets out of the seat and just hauls. I'm like, oh, that was nice.
Okay, bye.
Oh man, I'm like, God damn it. And then I'm like on my own into the wind. And I was like, and I thought that I liked this course. You know, like, when did I ever decide that I liked the polar roll? You know, like 5 miles in and it's just burning your face and you're moving nowhere and you just trudging on your own. I'm like, God, get me out of here. But you know what?
What?
I train alone. Like, I'm on the road, yeah, and I train alone and I don't have someone in front of me and I'm in the wind or I'm going up hills alone. And, you know, you got all these guys that group ride all the time and they draft and that's all fine and dandy. But I was sitting here and I was just like, you know what? You do this alone all the time. So just put your head down and, you know, sit at 160 heart rate and just sit there and just get it done. So that's right, what I did. And then finally you hit the next single track section in Nagani. And sure enough, you're going straight up again. Up you go, up, up, up and away. But you're in the woods, so it's nicer. And then finally, you come to this really wide open area, and it's just this sweet descent. I mean, it's a long descent. It's like, yes, finally, like I just get to like go wide open. I don't wear glasses though, so I was kind of snow blind.
Crying.
And I couldn't see the trail.
There's no crying in fat bike racing, Leah.
Yeah, I could, you
know. I tell myself that every day.
yeah, I know. It's not for the faint at heart, but I finally, there's a sweet downhill and I can't see the trail and I'm like, forget it. I don't even care. Like, I'm going to bomb this and just hope for the best. And, went right into the dig, blasted the front of my bike into the snow bank so hard that, it cracked my number plate in half. Oh, and I super wombed it like face plant into the snow where I'm just covered. And I'm like, you dummy. Like, you're so dumb.
This is why we should have helicopter coverage of your races.
I mean, I'm sure I got 6 feet. You know, I had to walk back to my bike. You know, get organized. I'm like, okay. Because
usually it's amazing how that works out normally. Like, you're crying, you can't see. You're in the middle, you're like at race vigor, and you're like, fuck it, I can just go, right? And most of the time it works out just fine. You might have a close call or a slip, but you don't do a superwoman.
Oh gosh, it was glorious. I mean, I was like, whatever, I got this, and I just want to go fast. Because you know, you're just trudging along for so long. I'm like, I just want to go fast and just
So you haven't said anything about any other women elite riders at this point. So you're out front and you're just on your own fighting the wind.
Yep. I jumped out real, real fast. So by the time I even got to the snowmobile trail, I believe I already had like a 4-minute gap.
Whoa.
And then because I had someone giving me bottle handups because it was supposed to be 25 degrees and you'll get an hour, you know, before your bottle freezes.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it was more like 10 degrees, in which case you only get about a half an hour before the nozzle starts freezing. So I, you know, a lot of people were bitching about their water freezing and all this stuff and they had to go without water. And it's like, you guys prepare for like 3 months, right? You do all this training, but you're not going to get the details right on race day. You know, like that should be the easy part.
Well, so, you know, like not everybody's, you know,
you got to use your head a little bit.
Right.
So the night before, I had a guy to help race support for me. And we actually drove to each of the places that I needed him. And he set a pin. So, and he had like a little chart of what he needed to give me at what location. I had my water bottles marked like 1, 2, 3, 4. And we had even two spots where at first I said, you know, these are going to be just places to see me and just tell me times, you know, like splits.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm probably not going to need a water bottle. But then wake up and it's 10 degrees. And I said, look, you're going to have a water bottle for me every single place that I'm at. So I just switched a water bottle like about every half hour. And by God, those suckers still froze. So, and my food was frozen. I tried to have, you know, a bar. I mean, I had like two gels, but a lot of my food is in the water bottles. And I had one of the water bottles was full of Perpetuum where it's got a little bit of protein. You know, you're going 4 hours, you need some protein.
Sure.
And I'm like, I need calories right now. And I couldn't get anything out of the bottle. I'm like, this is so annoying. I'm like, I am not going down because of this. So I freaking took my teeth and I ripped the nozzle off the water bottle and spit it out and freaking took the top of the bottle and I chugged the whole thing, dude. I just chugged that bitch. I was like, whatever it takes, man.
I will bite the head of a gopher or a water bottle.
I bit it right off. I don't care.
Dude,
I'll get another one.
Like, Ozzy Osbourne to that bottle.
Oh gosh,
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, but so then, and then the last portion is just some really fun single track. The course was so dialed. Oh man, I just love those trails so much.
Our conditions were just ideal.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can't even dream about that, right? Like. You see that. That's in your dreams. That's not real.
Yeah, especially the last few years here. We haven't had a winter like this where we've had good groomed conditions this far south. And obviously Marquette's not that far south. But
even down here, it's great.
So good.
Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah. Our base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had some really, really choice rides.
Well, so. I did the week before, I did the Badger State Games at the Underdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never ridden that course where it was that good. I mean, you could get up all those super punchy climbs, no problem.
Cool.
Normally, never, ever. And that place is really hard to ride as it is. But with the conditions that we've had there, I'm telling anyone that's listening, get to Underdown because it's easier right now than it is in the summer because there's so much snow. It smooths out all that, you know, that old school.
Yeah. Manuka.
You know, janky rocks and roots and all that kind of stuff. So good.
Manuka now is like a slot car track.
Ripping.
So fast. And all of those, you know, the big school bus, et cetera, rock formations are all easy as pie, are all beginner.
Yeah, because there's just a lane on it now.
Yep, sure. It's just all smoothed out. It's just like riding over a hill.
Oh, geez, now you're making me want to go ride my bike.
Yeah, Manuka would be.
I was tired. I want to go ride my bike now.
Do it now or very early tomorrow morning, like about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Maybe, I know.
Because the weekend is going to suck.
I'm thinking of hitting Blue Mountains this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Getting's good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that I really want to drive up to Windman and ride there again. Because I was there a couple of weeks ago, or last month. It was so good.
Yeah, they're grooming champions up there.
Yeah, I bet you those trails are so good in the summertime, too. Have you ridden up there in the summer?
Yeah, not in the summer, just in the winter.
Well, cool. The the Underdown Badger State Games had to be a pretty good warm-up for the polar roll, because that was in the mid-20s, right, miles? Like 25, 26?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, something like that, 26 miles maybe, but that took me a long time. That was like a 3.5 hour race.
Well, that's, you know.
I mean, I wasn't.
Doesn't matter the miles. It matters like the number of
the amount
watts.
Of time you're.
Yeah. Time in watts, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm not really down with the watts. My watts are pathetic.
Really?
Yeah, my watts are so embarrassing that I don't even post my trainer rides on Strava. I hide them.
Yeah,
I'll win the polar roll against dudes that are pushing out 300 watts.
Because you've got a much smaller airframe. You know, you're a fighter jet.
Yeah, we just don't need as many watts, I guess.
Right, I'm a jumbo jet.
Not anymore.
Well, I used to be a super jumbo jet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. And then you finished alone?
You finished
in a group of dudes? Or?
No, I was alone the entire race, pretty much.
Did you chick anybody? Did you chick any dudes on the way along?
Thing is, I know those suckers. I didn't do as well as I wanted to as far as my placement with the guys. In 18, yeah. I got 17th, and this year I got 27th. So maybe there's just more faster guys. I don't know.
Or it was
maybe I'm just getting old
course.
And slower. 18 was so fast.
Yeah.
18, the course was so fast. My time was quite a bit slower this year than that year, and the course was even shorter.
Riding solo will put you further back.
Killed me. Killed me.
You said you had gotten into a fast group on the year before, and that could be
the
difference
right there.
Because
you're also saving energy.
Oh, the other place that we rode that is close to you is Blackhawk Ski Area. I did the huge ass race there. My God, that was awesome. That was,
I'm telling you, we got some good stuff in Madison.
So killer. And the conditions were.
Did you get to hit the jumps?
Yeah. It was mountain biking on groomed. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It wasn't like fat biking, it was mountain biking. And oh my God, I took 21st in the citizens. So
nice.
That's like my best ever effort. I think I don't want to try that hard anymore though. I tried hard for two races and I was, you know, I did pretty good.
You've proven yourself
for an old fat guy.
You can go back to your normal ways.
I can just go back to be just like,
race isn't as much as fun.
Go ahead of me. I'm good. Instead of being like, hey, when you have a Christian moment, could you let an old fat guy by? I have no technique. Could you go like faster and stuff, or let me by? Trust your tires. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, as they
stop touching your brake.
The next thing you know, they're doing snow angels to the side. They're trying to let you by, and then they fall over.
Yeah, it's a delicate dance.
Mm-hmm.
The racer's dance.
It's like,
because you want
it.
You don't want
it wide enough. Is it wide enough? I feel like it could be wide enough until you ting your handlebars.
Sensors indicate softer snow to the left, Gomez. Yeah. Someday that'll happen.
Heck, maybe I'll go hit Blackhawk right now. Jeez.
Dude, Blackhawk. There's so much fun stuff there. Yeah, you should go there. And
yeah,
even the climbing is fun.
A mile from my house.
That's even the climbing is fun there. That big serpentine climb up to the jump.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I was like telling people, trust your tires. Don't touch your brakes. Let me by. It's like, because I had wrath lords, and I was like.
You were passing people on the uphill?
Uh-huh.
Dang, Gomez.
And then they took you out. Before that, there was a section where it was wide freaking open that I wish I had a bigger gear and, like, my top speed. And it's all flat. My top speed was, like, 27 miles an hour. And
oh, snap.
Yeah. So it was a good day to be on the bike, dude. It was awesome. Not as good as a three-peat at Polar Row, though. Sister.
I'm pretty sure I might have been going 30 miles an hour when I.
Well, now we have the...
my number plate with snow.
Dude, when you said you cracked, I thought, oh man, she broke a bar, or she broke a lever, or something like that. But, you know, your number plate, damn.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, 3 years. We'll take it. I'm taking it.
Todd's going to have to, like, I think that Todd, we'll see. I'm going to probably call Todd and get his reaction to your three-peat. He'll probably throw out some sort of wicked challenge. I think you should, like, get to spank his naked butt or something. You get to pick. You know, that might not be what you're into.
Yeah.
But you should get to do something good.
We'll have to think of something,
Next time we talk, we'll come up with something. You got any words of wisdom for the E-Spinner Ryerson out there in the world? Since, you know, it's normally the trio. Should we give him a shout-out?
Spinner! Move to Madison!
Hey, Spinner. Yeah, there's a house, right? There's a house right on the trail, right somewhere, like, I'm always trying to get him to move out by me, because then I'd have somebody to ride with. But I've been going to Manuka and
secret trails, but then someone would know about your secret trail.
Dude, it's on Google Maps now. At least the parking area is. Someday.
I'm not going out there unless I'm escorted.
All right. Well, you know, we could be Wahooligans together. And you could see if you can match my Strava prowess on the.
Oh, did you make a Strava segment out there?
There's two or three Strava segments out here that I have no doubt, girl.
And you're the king because you're the only person that's been out there. Because you're the only person that can find the place.
I don't think I have any king of the mountains, but I just go for PRs. I rode at Manuka the other day.
You could go for myself. King of the Day.
Oh, yeah. King of the Day. But, yeah, I don't have any of those either.
I saw a meme of this guy, you know, looking all proud. It's like, when you King the Day.
King of the Day.
Yeah, he's like puffing his chest.
Never. Yeah, it'll never compete.
The king for the day.
Never compete with the Ice Queen. But I rode Manuka the other afternoon. Really nice sugar snow that had been groomed 2 days before, that had been ridden in. And I got like 7 PRs. And that's a place where
I've
probably ridden there 6 times. And to get a PR on the fat bike with 5-inch tires and 100-millimeter rims on snow, you know.
That's impressive.
You've got some conditions going there, but my fitness feels
pretty
good.
You've made some
improvements
at that point.
Nobody to get in my way out there.
Well, hey, thanks for calling. I think I'm gonna go hop on the bike before
get out there, girl.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Congrats on the three-peat. You rock.
Thanks, Goldman. We'll see you later.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys.
So I heard you need a fat bike. Come to Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois. We have all brands. Trek, Borealis, Salsa, Felt, Surly, and more. Yo, we have all the cold weather gears by 45 North and Bontrager. Keep those fingers and toes nice and toasty. We fix bikes also, so you have any problem? Brakes, gears, suspension. We have the best mechanics in town. So yeah, visit us at ZionCycle.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
We have Todd Poquette, Director of Adventure of the 906 Adventure Team, on the phone. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Greetings and all that stuff.
Yes, indeed. So the subject of the day here is Leia Schneeberger's three-peat. What do you think?
I think it's pretty damn impressive, especially when you consider the bullshit that we served her last year.
Yeah. Yeah, last year was a unique, well, I think she, you know, I can't remember how much she walked, but I don't think she walked a lot of that last year because she was one of the first people through. But
yeah, she was up in the front for sure.
But for many, it was an epic trudge.
It was. Well, for 20%, it was. The other 80% quit and went home.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the show where Leia was like, people gave me crap because they just said, you won just because you're so light.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, no. Light no. And can endure, you know, heartbeats and wattage in the 80 to 90% level for 4 hours.
No, I mean, honestly, you know, a tip of the hat to Leia for the three-peat. I don't know that we've had anybody, man or woman, three-peat this in the history of the event until she did it.
She's like the Michael Jordan of fat bike racing. If she gets to five, you know, or seven or something like that.
It's really interesting because it does show, you know, this event, it's so unpredictable what you're going to face each year. I think that for a lot of people, sometimes, you know, they're afraid to register for it. She just keeps coming back. She says she loves it, which I don't know if that's really true, but
I think she really likes going there to train as well. Kind of came out in our interview is that she goes up there quite often and she knows the trails and she loves the Ishpeming cluster. It's, you know, Jenna Reinhart can't be beat in the Chicago, this is my theory anyway, in the Fat Bike Berkey on those Schwamigan trails. Jenna Reinhart knows those big parabolic hills better than anybody else, and she's got it dialed. She knows when to turn it on, when to use up the reserves and when to keep the reserves, right? So,
familiarity is huge for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, it all comes down to that mental part of the game, which is what you're an expert at crushing.
Hey, you know, actually, to give her some props here, and I can tie this a little bit to what we're trying to teach the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, she does come up here and rides a lot. So she definitely develops familiarity with the area, with the trails. And again, she spends a lot of time. Yeah, sure, everybody sees the pictures plastered all over Facebook of her on the podium, or they're going to hear you interviewing her talking about the podium. But often what gets overlooked, and we stress this with kids, is all of the time that it took, you know, along the journey to put her on that fucking podium. And because she comes up here and she puts in the time and rides these hard-ass trails and trains for them, when she shows up to race them, she's ready.
Right, you invest in your own luck or in your own good fortune or your own achievement by spending the time doing the recon. I mean, she talked about how she had a new support crew person and she went out with him and made him drop a pin on his smartphone or on his nav system or whatever they were using. Hopefully, it works up there, but. Because of the cold temperatures and bottles only lasting, 30, 35 minutes in single digits. So she had it all dialed out. So that's a good thing to know and learn. And that comes from experience. And she didn't win that race the first time she raced it. This is probably like the fifth time she's raced it. And now try, you know, here's the challenge is somebody go out there and beat her in the sprint.
She's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
You know, she's got the experience and she's got the preparation. You talked about the water freezing this year at the finish line. I was there all day, basically from the first racer until the last. Mm-hmm. And that was the number one, thing that we heard from every racer was, you know, freaking water bottle was froze 15 minutes into the event. And I went hours without water or until they got to the aid station.
And that's why, you know, what our old color guy on the show that Leah is on our podcast network here, Spinner Ryerson always says, you just put a little vodka in each of those bottles and they won't freeze.
Yeah, I've heard that. I prefer scotch, but whatever.
Yeah, all right. That would be one way to go.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah, so she's killing it. She's killing it, man. She's killing it. Proud of her. Happy for her.
All right. Yeah, well, while we have you on the phone, who won the men's and what's their story? Who do they race for?
Cole House won the men's.
Oh, right on.
So it was Cole and then Corey Stelgis. I think it's Corey, right?
Yep.
And then Wakely came in and, you know, Wakely actually, the first thing he said was he didn't have enough food and all of his water froze.
Oh, man.
You know, going back to that.
We've interviewed all three of those cats. So.
Oh, really?
Pete's Garage. I think that's Cole House's sponsor. CJ Stell just be Neff's Cycle Service.
I believe so.
Jordan, I think, is racing for Fatback this year.
I think you're right. Those guys, all three of them have been up here. Cole has won it before. Jordan has won it before. So they know, you know, I think that the last time Cole won it actually was the year we did it point to point, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically the same course again this year.
Oh, did it come down to a three-way sprint with those three? They came in separately, you said. Yeah.
Yeah, they were, each of them were separate.
Well, Cole has found a way to get Corey a couple of times this last season, this year. But man, in the Berkey, Chris Stevens and Corey Stelgis, who will win, or will Cole or somebody else?
Oh yeah, Stevens is up here. He was here too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's won the Fatback Berkey before, right?
Yep, 2 years ago. Yeah. Corey won it last year. Those are the guys that they're. I think they're the guys to beat. You know, the true small frame, and they train scientifically and eat scientifically, and both really good runners too. So
yeah. Running. I'll never understand anybody that runs unless it's from the law.
That surprises me to hear from you, Todd. I thought you were, I thought you were an old hasher from the 80s, man. But no.
No, from the 90s, and it was running from the sheriff.
There you go. Yep, running on your snowmobile.
We don't need to get into those sealed files.
Well, all right. We'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us on the show. And what's your next event? What do you want to? This is like the Tonight Show where you get to come out and pimp your next movie too.
Well, the next big thing, honestly, is launching our registration and all the hoopla for Adventure Bike Club up here in the UP.
Oh, nice.
So we're gearing up for that for the kids. I actually spent the entire day today. That's why I didn't call you. Sorry.
No worries.
You know, getting that ready and rolling, and we're doing a adventure summit this spring again. This year, we're going to let about 50 people get in that are not 906 coaches. They want to come up and learn what we do, and then hopefully bring it back to their communities.
Awesome.
And then the next big event is going to be the Crusher.
The Crusher.
Coming up in July.
All right.
Looking forward to that one.
I know a couple of our product testers do those races. So,
Crusher is going to be great.
When you,
man.
When, when you retire from the big thing and you have the cuddler. And we can ride. All right, yeah. Sir. You take
all
care.
Right, you take
thanks.
It easy, man.
Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. We'll talk to you.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
Hey, in our next little segment about Leia's three-peat, we have George Kapitz of the Broken Spoke Cycling Studio. I probably messed up that name, didn't I, George?
Close enough. Broken Spoke Bike Studio.
That's it. Welcome to our little program. How's it going?
Pretty good. You caught me at a good time. Just got done riding.
Nice.
Yep.
So what do you think about Leia three-peating the Polar Bowl? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's pretty cool to see because, you know, her and I go back and forth prior to the Polar Roll at all the different races, and it's good competition, and usually I'm a little bit stronger in the beginning of the season, and then, I don't know, I think it's like Polar Roll, she just turns a switch, and she just goes, and usually leaves me in the dust every time.
That's amazing. I remember you mentioning Leia before she won the Berkey. You said, you know, there's this woman on our team. She is going to win everything. And you told me Leia Schneeberger, and it's a name you don't forget. and when she crossed the line, I was like, damn, that's the woman that George told me about. And that's when Leia and I met at when she won the Berkey. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
And of course she's been on the show and co-hosted the Dose of Fat for probably the 2.5 years since then. This year she, rebuilt her wheel set, right? You guys put together that, spaghetti strap wheel set for her.
Yeah, that's right. Shoestrings, tied to spokes and, or tied to rims and hooks. Exactly it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've yet to see the new wheel set or feel just how much does that weight does that save?
Quite a bit. I know my personal wheel set along with hers are probably right in that 1500 gram realm.
Wow.
Which I mean, just comparable, like a carbon head, traditional double butted spoke to like an industry 9 hub, you're looking at about 1800 grams. Mm-hmm. So to cut, you know, almost 300 grams of weight is pretty significant.
And especially that's that rotating weight that's ever important.
Yeah. And it looks cool too. And it's different.
So how was your Polar Roll? How did you do?
I did not so hot. I pulled out at mile 25. I was struggling with flats all day. Oh. So at the start of the race, I forget to check my air pressure, silly me. So like I put my bike at the start line, didn't check it until a minute from the start. What the feel? I'm like, well, I can't get out of the chute now. Let's just roll and I'll pump it sometime out there. And on the lead out, I think I probably burped a little bit. And finally, when I could stop and pump it up, I think I might've cracked the bead. So it was just a struggle all day.
Yeah. That constant leaker. That's a tough thing to overcome.
Yeah.
If you only knew a good bike shop. Just kidding.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, that happens.
So did you go to the, Fatitude race this last weekend?
I did. Yeah.
How was that?
That was pretty cool. You know, I kind of, you know, I usually, when it comes to fat bike racing, you got to ride what's there, you know? So if conditions are mashed potatoes, you ride them and you make the best of it. And, when we got there was a little demo loop and right away we just sank down. We're like, oh man, this is going to be a slug.
That's what I thought it would be.
But, you know, surprisingly it wasn't horrible. I mean, it seemed to like come in like 15 to 50 foot sections of mashed potatoes, but like you would just have to lay down the hammer. And if you could pedal through that, then it would be like a nice stretch of snow. And then it was just a consistency of that the entire race. And it, every time you could push through it, you were definitely winning the race.
Cool.
So,
yeah. I was going to go, but then I looked at the conditions and I was like, do I go ride mashed potatoes with it? You know, because I thought the way it would be your best lap would be the practice lap, the pre-ride. And then once you got on the race course, it was just going to be foobar from everybody riding through it. You know, after that first lap, it was just going to be bad.
Yeah. It actually got better a little bit after the second and third lap, just because it got warmer and the moisture got in the snow, and I think it just packed down a little bit more. But it still is definitely blowing out. You know, I think the thing that hurt him the most was there was like 30 mile an hour winds on an open course, so it just drifted everywhere.
So instead, I went and rode right after sunrise when it was still hard frozen on beautiful groomed Camrock, and it was glorious. It was pretty awesome.
So, nice. Yes. Yeah, there's some good riding all around, especially right now with the temps kind of rising and falling. Like I just went and rode Bearage Creek. Everything was super hard packed, and it's good to get it going in the morning.
We're gonna get a refreeze here, and I'm gonna put the studs back on. But I'm getting ready to go to Alaska. I'm sending my carbon bike up to Alaska, and I'll be riding the sweaty Yeti this weekend on my on Otis, my purple aluminum fatback bike. So
nice, heck yeah, yeah. A few of our riders are gonna be up there. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna make it up. We are sponsoring a prize packet. I'm going to send that up with one of our riders. Unfortunately, I can't make it up.
Cool. Well, you know, you missed your chance to beat me again.
There'll be some good opportunity next year. We got some good things in store for the new Snowcom series, some new venues, and we're pretty excited and ready for next year.
Dude, did you see the line of riders to go down Alpine Valley's downhill race?
Yeah, I did. That was awesome.
You know, a smart guy like yourself would look at that picture and say, I wonder if we could get Kiwana to do it. Or, you know, there has to be a ski hill up there that would be like, yeah, we could do that.
For sure. Or maybe like Marquette Enduro or something like that. Although they've had some of those in the past, I don't think they really stuck with it and kept it rolling. But yeah, something kind of downhill and fat bike sounds amazing.
You know what I look at that picture and say? I say, after they close the hill to skiers somewhere around April Fool's Day, I see mud wrestling, downhill, jumps, skim pool, bikinis, beer. That's what I
see. Yeah. I think I see a fatbike.com sponsored or shenanigans in the future for sure.
Yeah. I
mean, that's what got me hooked. You guys, your first fatbike race out in Lake Geneva, that got me hooked.
Yeah.
For sure.
channeling my inner drill sergeant that day. Ye begods. But anyway, thanks for coming on. Any final thoughts for Leia?
I think she's going to be going into the Berkey really strong. She's going to do a 3-hour hard effort this weekend at Sweaty Yeti, and I think she's going to have good fitness going into Berkey again. So, you know, hopefully she can crack that top spot.
Right on. Best of luck, Leia. I'll see you this weekend, and I won't see you this weekend, but, you know, there's always a chance that I come walking through that door of your bike shop.
Yeah, anytime, don't be a stranger.
With a broken bike in my hand. can you fix this thing? All right, dude. Yeah. Have a good day. Thanks.
Yeah,
it's Fat
too.
Tuesday. Hey, we forgot to say it's Fat Tuesday. So,
all right.
Happy Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday.
Right on. See ya.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
Today, we're lucky we have Andy Tettmeyer. He's the repository of knowledge at Head Cycling Products. Welcome to the show, amigo.
Thank you very much. Thanks for letting me come on again.
Yeah, you know, Andy came into town and we put on lab coats and did an episode of Fat Bike TV about wheels back probably around 2016 or so. And
yeah, it was about
good fun. We got to ride a cool cake bike and talk about wheels. And I have for about 5-6 years been riding one of the OG sets of the 100mm head wheels and those things. I tell you, Andy, before we get into Leia's three-peat, I just have to say, I feel like I've been running the Johnny Fives 5 PSI or lower on some, even groomed and ungroomed, and I feel like I've found the secret weapon of fat biking.
Yeah. Well, it's not a secret anymore, is it?
I feel like I have an unfair advantage. It's like, man, these things will just go anywhere. Yeah.
I know. People get so scared of wide rims, but I agree. They'll go anywhere, and there's no weight penalty or anything, so why not do it?
Exactly. I'm these giant truck tires on my bike, and it's still feather light and instant acceleration, and, man, Johnny Five has some really super good hookup on the traction. Traction sweet chewiness, as we like to say, but let's let that be the preface of our story, because the focus of our discussion today is about Leia Schneeberger's three-peat at the Polar Roll. She's a longtime head wheel aficionado.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that?
Well, I got to be honest, I can't say I've ever met her, but man, she is fast. And, I mean, three times in a row for anything.
I know.
That's really impressive. I'm not going to claim very much responsibility. I'm glad she's riding her wheels. She must be doing it because she likes them.
You should meet Leia. You should meet Leia, Andy. She's a card, man. She's a regular on one of our shows, and oh my god, yeah. What a uniquely humorous and like self-deprecating, and you know, she's kind of an independent out there. For the last few years, she's had the big 45 North team. They had like five women at once, like that, and she always does really well. So has won the Berkey, and so a way to support, you know, super cool fast riders like that and schlubs like myself.
You and me both.
That's right. Don't cut yourself short, Gomez. You're one hell of a schlub. But anyway, well, it's cool that you guys are making these awesome wheels right there in Minnesota. The single wall carbon fat bike wheel. But can we talk gravel wheels for a second? Or I shouldn't say gravel wheels. I want to say plus bike wheels. Because we've been having or adventure bike wheels. Because I have a Surly Krampus that has, so it's a discussion that we've been having with Adam Blake, and there's this cat that calls himself Bike Nerd that wrote an editorial about how plus bikes, the 45mm inner dimension rim is too wide for 3.0, or even he likes 2.8 to 2.6 is where he thinks the sweet spot is. And he thinks 30mm to 35mm inner dimension. Got any thoughts on any and all of that?
They're not really that informed, but I will tell you what I know.
Okay.
So we do have a 45. No, we have a 40mm inner.
Right.
Plus rim. It's a 650B.
The Raptor.
And I love it. The Raptor. I love it. I love to ride it. I think of it the same way that I do when we just talked about wide fat bike rims.
Mm-hmm.
For the way I ride, which is not so much racy, more adventure-y, more you know, push yourself. You're going against yourself. You're in your little cohort, but I'm way past the time when I ever contended for a podium, and I never did on the mountain bike ever. It was road stuff, maybe. Mm-hmm. So for that kind of stuff, I love that 45. Now, that being said, I haven't tried a 30, but I can't imagine how it would be much better. I would expect the tire to squirm around more and to not be as sure-footed. You know, I'd expect that kind of gut clench moment once in a while where your tire rolled out from underneath you, not off the rim, but just rolled out from underneath you if you're running something down.
Sure.
A 30 millimeter rim with a 2.8 tire. That's what I would expect.
Well, all right. Well, we're gonna be trying a set of new rims on my Krampus, and I'm gonna go to I'm thinking 35 because I have a set of 2.5 extra Surly extraterrestrial tires and a pair of 2.8 inch. These are both 29er Terravale Coronados, which is that's an awesome tire, and this is for doing extended touring on road and gravel and mixing in mountain biking on those Coronados. That's, you can do everything on that. So, so think about that,
I am curious how it goes. I am curious. And one of the things about this, a lot of the stuff we make is that, you know, if you're choosing a narrower rim because it's going to be lighter and you're going to be more zippy, that's very valid, and it's going to work. But if you've already got a really stout carbon rim that doesn't weigh that much, I still believe that up to a point, wider is going to be better. It's going to support your tire better, and you're not going to see a downside to it. If you went to 45 in aluminum, yeah, I think you'd feel it a lot. You're adding a lot of weight in that case. But I'm curious what you find out.
All right. And maybe we need to compare that to 650B Raptors. That would be an interesting comparison to take the weight out of that 45 or 40 millimeter rim would be an interesting comparison.
Yeah, it would be.
Anyway, thank you for calling into the show and giving us your, just one page. That was just one page, a couple of paragraphs of the repository of knowledge in the wheel biz. Andy Tettmeyer.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
We could even throw some applause in here. Woo! Andy! Woo! That's my wild!
The studio audience.
Pipe down out there, studio audience. Thanks, Andy.
All right.
Have a good one.
Have a good day. See ya.
Bye.
Check us out on Instagram at fatbike.com.
Till then.
I'm Omri Stilquist with the Fat Republic on YouTube Scandinavian.